welcome you to another edition of Abiding in the Vine podcast from Heather Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm Pastor Brian McCrory, joined by my fellow pastors John Kirby and Bob Hayes this morning. And we're excited to spend this podcast talking not only about an important subject from the Scriptures, but an important event in the life of our church. Coming up this weekend, March 18th through the 20th, it's our third annual SEED Conference. SEED stands for Spiritual Enrichment and Education, and the goal of the SEED Conference has been to emphasize one of the eight core values that we have as a church each year. This year's theme is Christian Fellowship, and so we're going to spend our podcast talking about that. But let's go back for just a minute and revisit some of the last couple of years and maybe just hit a couple of the highlights of our conference. Back to our first year in 2010, we highlighted the core value of the Scripture, the authority of the Scripture. We had a fellow named Dr. Steve Wellum from Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, and a fellow named Dr. Dave Burgraff from Shepherd's Seminary in North Carolina come up. And what were some of your recollections of that first SEED conference, guys?
Well, I think the recollection I had is that it was good that we started out the SEED conferences with the Scriptures, the authority of the Scriptures, the veracity of the Scriptures, the clearness of the Scriptures and understanding them. I thought that was a great place to start because, I mean, that's where everything starts in the Christian life. It starts with the Word of God. God has chosen to speak into our world, and that makes all the difference in everything. And if God has spoken to us, then we need to listen, and we need to have a reverence for His Word and a love for His Word. And so I thought that it was great to start out our SEED conferences beginning with the Scriptures, focusing on the Scriptures. And so that's my first impression from that SEED conference.
And those guys did a great job, too. We threw a bunch of different topics at them about the Scriptures, things like the sufficiency of the Scriptures and defending the Scripture, interpreting the Scripture, the authority of the Scriptures. And those guys did just a... I don't think it could have gone better, that first conference. It was... The guys both had pastoral hearts and really communicated very thoroughly the Scriptures. Our second year, last year, Pastor Bob, on 2011, was on the subject of prayer. And again, we had two fellows come in to speak to us. One was Pastor Don Green from Grace Community Church in California, now relocating to the Cincinnati area. And also Brother Bob Allums, who I think was a guest even in your home. What was your recollection of that prayer conference?
First off, Bob was just a delight to be with. He has a compassion for people. He has a heart for prayer. And in his presentation, I mean, he even got a little bit teary-eyed from time to time because this is so close and so real to where he is every day. Mm-hmm. And I think it sent a message to the people that came to the conference to see that those that were leading the conference were leading by example because that's where they're living. And that was very impressive to me.
Yeah, I enjoyed that conference very much so as well. Very practical things as well as very theological grounding. And, of course, this year, it just keeps getting better and better. Our subject this year is, it's not a difficult subject in one sense in that the Bible is full of it, but full of explanation and instruction about this topic. But it's not something that's often preached about or taught about. You don't find a whole lot of books on this subject that have been written. And so it's been a little more interesting in planning for the different sessions, trying to figure out how this theme can impact different aspects of the conference. But again, we have two really outstanding speakers coming in. Phil Johnson is the Executive Director of Grace to You. That's the publishing ministry really out of John MacArthur's church in California, his books and messages. And Phil has been an editor of most of those projects through the years and is really just a devout preacher of the gospel. Not afraid. He's a fearless guy, a prophetic voice, I think, in this generation. And, of course, John, you know of Phil's ministry personally, having lived there. Tell us a little bit about Phil.
Well, yeah, I've sat under Phil's ministry. I got to know him in a sense of being under his ministry from the Shepherd's Conference, first of all. You know, I can remember, for me, working through the doctrine of the atonement and the extent of the atonement. And he really helped me through that issue, just listening to his messages at the Shepherd's Conference, which is a pastor's conference they have there at Grace Community Church. So he's helped me in that sense. And then when I went to the seminary and there on the campus of the church, Master's Seminary, he's a pastor of one of the fellowship groups, Grace Life Fellowship, and was able to not directly sit under that ministry, but, you know, through his, sometimes he would preach in John's stead in the main service, and I would listen to him, you know, over the internet. He's a great preacher. He handles the Word of God in a way that's reverent. He cuts it straight. He gets the meaning correct out of the Word of God, and very challenging. Like you say, a prophetic voice. Definitely one of those preachers who loves the Lord, loves the truth, defends the truth, and you know, says it like it needs to be said. So he's a world class speaker, and we're fortunate to have him.
And we had the opportunity to hear Phil not long ago at a FIRE regional conference here near us in Greenfield, Indiana.
What's the FIRE there?
FIRE stands for the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. I think that's it. And it's a nationwide fellowship of brothers and sisters who are like-minded in those areas. Phil went through some books that were very fresh on our minds, Nahum and Jonah, which we had just gone over in our ABF classes. So it was great to hear him cut the word there.
I think we even podcasted about that, didn't we?
I think we did.
Yeah, it was one of our first ones.
I think you're right. I think that's right. So then we also have a fellow named Conrad Mbewe coming. We've met him once before up at the Gospel Coalition last year in Chicago. He is a pastor in Zambia, Africa. Again, kind of a tie here to Pastor John. You're going to be going to Zambia here after Easter, not to work in his particular church, but in that country. And he's the pastor there in Lusaka, the capital city. I think it's... Lubkada or something like that, Baptist Church there in Lusaka. And he's kind of called the African Spurgeon. It's not a name he gave himself, but he's kind of been dubbed that because, again, of his prophetic voice, his clear teaching and preaching of the Scripture and of important doctrines. So we're really looking forward. In fact, I think we're going to try next week when they're here to cut a podcast with our speakers. So we'll be able to prepare some good questions and have some interaction with them, and you'll be able to share in that, which will be a great benefit to you. Also, I might say that all of our previous Seed Conference messages are online at sermonaudio.com/Heather Hills. If you go there and do a search of series, you can find the Seed Conference messages from the past 2 years, and you'll also be able to find the messages from this year. So we're looking forward to it. A variety of messages, both in our church on Sunday and then Monday. We'll have a Pastors and Christian Leaders Day. We have a number of guys coming in from all around this part of the state and area who will be treated to some more teaching and preaching from Phil and Conrad. And then Tuesday, we'll, like I said, we'll have some extra time with them here in the office. And in our studio, and then in the evening with our teachers and congregation. So we're really looking forward to it. If you want to find out more information about the Seed Conference, we do have a website where you can find more details. That's Seed, S-E-E-D, conference.info. So let's jump to the subject of Christian fellowship, guys. And let's talk maybe first of all about maybe we should de-myth some of the ideas about Christian fellowship that are out there. If we went up to just the average Joe Christian in an average church and we said, tell us what it means to fellowship with other Christians, what are some of the answers we might get?
Socialization. Some look at it strictly as something that you do on a social level. That's fellowship.
We're guilty of that, too, I think. We, on Sunday after our morning service, we have a time of food and conversation that's called our fellowship time.
Right?
Yeah, so that's something that's probably pretty common. What other
I mean, our fellowship time could have true fellowship in it. It's not the donuts that make it a fellowship time. What makes it fellowship is when there is a sharing of life in Christ. That's the key element there of it, of the shared life in Christ being talked about. Now that can take place and probably does take place in our fellowship time on a regular basis, but it's not just socializing about the weather or talking about the Colts or the Pacers. That's not necessarily fellowship. Fellowship is not just Christians being together. It's Christians sharing their life in Christ together. So it has a particular element of the encouragement in Christ, talking about your relationship with Christ, talking about the Scriptures, bringing those sort of things to bear on Christians being together. So it's not just Christians being in the same room talking about, politics. It's Christians being in the same room, sharing life together, prayer requests, how the Lord has encouraged them, challenging one another from the Scriptures. So a little deeper than we normally think about it, that would be true Christian fellowship.
We define our core value in this way. We are passionate about Christian fellowship based in the gospel and love of Jesus Christ. And that may raise a number of questions if you stop and think about it. And, of course, we try to find the answers in the same place we try to find all the answers, which is the Scriptures themselves. So what we'd like to do for the remainder of our time today is do a bit of a biblical theology here in the New Testament and just kind of survey the verses and books that talk about this idea of Christian fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia, which is something you may have heard. And let's see how it's used, because it is used in very different ways in the New Testament. And I think as we go through some of these verses, we'll get a fuller understanding of what it is. And hopefully that'll prepare our people as you listen for our seed conference here this weekend and for others who may be listening in as well. The first mention of the word koinonia or fellowship in the New Testament is found in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 30. This is Jesus, and he's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and not speaking too kindly to them. He's giving them some woes, a whole bunch of them actually, seven woes or seven pronouncements of judgment on these false religious teachers. And verse 30, and I'll back up in verse 29, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.'" And so here the word koinonia is translated to take part with them, to take part, to participate in, to share in, here the murdering of God's prophets. So that gives us a little bit of an idea of how koinonia is used. The second is over in the Gospel of Luke, which is the next book of the Bible we're going to be studying here at Heather Hills. But in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10, it says this, "And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee." This is right after they had caught the abundance of fish when Jesus told them to cast their nets out into the deep after they had been fishing all night long and had caught nothing. And so they caught all this fish and the nets were breaking. Perhaps you remember that story. And it's saying here that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were amazed. They're astonished at this fish. And it says James and John were partners with Simon, and the word partners there is the word koinonia, and Simon, of course, is referring to Peter, and of course, we all learned the song in Sunday school, Peter, James, and John in a sailboat, because Peter, James, and John were partners in fishing that the Lord had called them from to follow him in discipleship. So not only participating, we get from Matthew, but now here's even a little closer association or partnership.
Yeah, those are good verses to just bring out the aspect that fellowship can have the, you know, the broadest meaning of just shared life. It's just, you know, partnering or going in together on something. So it at its base level, it's just the sharing together.
Yeah. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2. This is the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost after Peter's sermon, and the 3,000 at least people responded to the message. Very famous verse here. It says in verse 42 of Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So there is actually the word fellowship for the first time in our English translation, coming from the Greek word koinonia. And again, here it's referring to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. So again, I think these words both go back to the noun apostle. So not only were they devoted to the apostles' teaching, but they were also devoted to fellowship with the apostles, which again comes back to that as we're talking about this idea of sharing or joining in.
Yeah, this has an aspect of more of the Christian fellowship. Mm-hmm. Before, with the other ones, it was just kind of a fellowship in business or a fellowship in killing, which isn't very fun to think about. But this has the idea of really being distinct in Christian fellowship. They were devoted to, you know, teaching and the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread and prayers. So this really becomes a Christian fellowship.
This is one of the things, too, that we draw what we believe about church membership from passages like this. Here is really an association, an identification with the apostles of these people, that they're going to follow their teaching, they're going to follow their leadership. There's a commitment to their leadership here. There's a partnering with them in the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's really what we look for in church members.
The immediate context here, of course, is forming of the church, which was a very new thing to this particular time in history, especially with shortly after the resurrection of Christ, that this taking place. And those that were on the fringes of trying to understand it all, when the Spirit came down and baptized them into the Spirit, then this set a whole new precedent for what the church was all about. It was about those that were being set aside for those that were receiving the truth of the resurrection of Christ. And the fellowship spawned from that, I think, because they had a common denominator, mm-hmm. the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And that's one of the things we say in our core value, is that our fellowship is based in the gospel of Jesus, which means that Christian fellowship is something unique. It's different from the partnership that we may have with the Sam's Club down the street, from the sharing that we may have with a homeschool co-op or a YMCA or a Lions Club. This is a uniquely Christian fellowship that's based really in the gospel. That's what we have in common in this kind of fellowship. Let's jump over to the book of Romans. We'll see at least one other unique use of the term here, but we'll start in Romans 11 and verse 17. Really wonderful chapter we went through here a few months back. Romans 11:17 says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you," now Paul's talking to the Gentiles here, and this tree that he's talking about is the Jewish nation, their lineage. It says, "If some of the branches were broken off, and you, Gentiles, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share," and there's the word for fellowship, koinonia, there's the word share, it's exactly what we've been talking about, "and you share in the nourishing root of the olive tree." And then he goes on to say, "Don't be arrogant toward the branches." So here's the wonderful ministry that Paul had specifically to the Gentiles, and he's giving them the theological basis for his ministry, really, that God is grafting them in as a people into the blessings and some of the promises that were given to the Jewish nation through Jesus Christ. So again, an interesting use of the word there. Over in chapter 12, another interesting use of the word in verse 13, it says this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And just before we comment there, let me also read verses 26 and 27 of chapter 15. The word for fellowship there was contribute. And here in Romans 15, 26 and 27, it says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution, there it is again, for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share, there's the word again, in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So how's koinonia being used here?
Yeah, it has the aspect of actually sharing with brothers and sisters in Christ goods and monies and actually helping them out physically and tangibly in life. And that's important. That's very important. We don't often think of it that way. We do tend to think of it as donuts and coffee at church. But it goes beyond that. It goes into our weeks where we take care of the brothers and sisters that are in need and help them out physically and tangibly. You know, I can think of many examples in our church where people have taken meals over to those that are set aside. You know, clean people's houses who aren't able to clean people's houses. Given rides to doctor's appointments when, you know, they're not able to drive themselves. I mean, this is Christian fellowship. This is brothers and sisters taking care of one another. And I dare say that it happens at Heather Hills a lot more than we even know in this room, you know, mm-hmm. as pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Our people, they love each other, and they show that Christian fellowship throughout the week. And that's an important aspect that we don't often think about.
Yeah, we do this officially through the use of our deacons fund, which we our deacons administrate for the needy within our congregation, and we also do try to serve the poor in our community as well when there is a genuine need that we can meet. But you're right, there's a whole lot more informally that goes on than formally that we do as a church. And that's a sign of a healthy church that fellowships in that way.
I think we're blessed to have a congregation that's of one mind when it comes to looking out for one another. If someone is going through some deep waters, there's usually several different families and different groups that plug in. We have a Mercy Ministry group that sends cards and makes phone calls and makes visits. And then we have those that do the physical stuff like the doctor's appointments, as Pastor John mentioned. And then we also have those that will go in and do repairs in the houses. And there's just a heart for people with this assembly, simply because I think we base it all on the koinonia of truth, that's what God has called us to do, to look out for the brothers. And he even goes so far as to say, especially those of the household of faith,
mm-hmm.
That we should look out for our own families in the church and our own people and the widows and those kinds of things. They're commands from God.
Good. Let's jump to the letters to the Corinthians here. Paul in 1 Corinthians really deals with spiritual fellowship. And then in 2 Corinthians, we get into a couple other areas of fellowship and even begin to talk about some of the limitations of fellowship, that sometimes we're not supposed to extend fellowship. But first, Pastor John, let me just read a few verses here from 1 Corinthians, and then maybe we can sum up some of the koinonia ideas here. 1 Corinthians 1:9, one of the great verses we're hoping to focus on in our conference, says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:23 says, Paul says, I do it all. This is right after that popular verse, I've done all things to all, I've become all things to all men. The next verse says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. And then there's three verses in chapter 10, down in verse 16, it says, the cup of blessing that we bless, speaking of the Lord's Supper here, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Verse 18, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? Verse 20, no, I imply that what the pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. So what do we learn there?
Well, there's a little bit of limitation on fellowship at the end. No fellowship with demons. But I think that the first verse that you read, 1 Corinthians 1:9, to think about that, God's faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That just, I read that the other day, and it just hit me like a load of bricks. I mean, that we would be called into fellowship with God, called into fellowship with Christ. I mean, this is amazing. You think of who Christ is. He's the creator God. He's Savior, the glorious, exalted, risen Lord, and that we would be called into fellowship with him, and be, you know, the Bible talks about Christians being united to Christ. That's just amazing privilege, an amazing blessing that he would take our sin on himself, and then that he would share his righteousness, that he would give his righteousness to us so that we can be reconciled to a holy God, and we would have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's just beyond amazing. And that's just our wonderful, gracious God, that he would call us into fellowship with him, first of all. That's the basis of our Christian fellowship with each other, is our fellowship with God, that we are now reconciled back into a relationship with our Father, and we are in fellowship with the Trinity, and that's just amazing.
Well, if you haven't figured out by now, it's probably good to have an open Bible following along while you listen to this, because we're hitting a lot of verses here. In the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul continued to emphasize koinonia, Christian fellowship, in a variety of ways. Pastor Bob, there's a wonderful verse here, I think, that you have a lot of insight on, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share, there's the word, in our sufferings, you will also share, there's the word, in our comfort. And I know you specifically on our staff have definitely the most experience and most effort into sharing with people's suffering and also the comfort that they receive following suffering. What are some ways that we can share in the suffering of our fellow believers?
Well, we face crises every day. Church of this size, there's always someone going to surgery, someone who's got a financial need. There's just multiple needs. And it just seems that as we keep that in front of the congregation, that they respond to that very thing, because, again, their heart is saturated with wanting to please Christ, and the fellowship that they're seeing is obedience to the command of Christ for us to look out one for the other. And whether it's someone that's a grieving widow, or whether it's someone that is recuperating from a stroke or major surgery, they need the support, and we've almost got to hold these people down to keep them from mobbing them to share in that. It's just this is just a very wonderful congregation for having a heart of passion. I know when I was set aside with some major surgery a few years back, the food that came in, I almost ran out of freezer room because they just were overwhelming with wanting to do whatever they could. And that was their way of saying, we love you. The fellowship is real between us.
And of course, that presumes, if we share in people's suffering, it presumes that we know that they're suffering. And of course, the way that we know one another is suffering is if we share in life together. And so that's something that we constantly need to be alert to and aware of as believers, the needs of our brothers and sisters around us. Some of the references here in 2 Corinthians are things that we've already kind of hit, so maybe we can go through a couple of them quickly here. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership, there's the word, has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship, there's the word again, with light, has light with darkness. So again, there's an unequal yoking. We need to stay pure. We need to stay righteous and not soil our lives with that which doesn't belong. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, there's a couple of references there having to do with helping people financially in their need. Also in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 13, the same idea there, the generosity of their contribution. Speaking of helping to meet material needs. And then over in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 is an interesting verse. It says very simply, all the saints greet you. And that word greet is the word for koinonia used in a verbal form. What do you think that that fellowship of greeting has to do? Because right before it says, greet one another with a holy kiss, which is something we dealt with in Romans as well. So how do we fellowship even through greeting? Any thoughts you guys have on that?
Well, I think the idea there is the distinctive greeting based on fellowship with Christ, that you're greeting a fellow believer and trying to encourage them in the Lord. It's not just like you're meeting some person out on the street. You're greeting these people in the Lord. It's a holy greeting. It's a holy kiss. It's separated from the other types of kisses and greetings there are in the world. This one is a distinctively Christian greeting. Greet them. You know, saints is the word holy. So all the holy ones greet you. And so it's a greeting of encouragement in Christ.
And you're doing a great job there, John. I think I gave you the wrong verse. I think it's verse 14 when I looked here in the Greek passage, speaking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which of course is exactly what you're talking about. That this is a spiritual and holy relationship that we have with each other, certainly, and of course with God. So I think I misspoke there on that verse. So let's go, why don't we go to just a couple of other passages here and then we'll wrap it up. Paul is prolific, of course, in his letters to the Galatians. He deals with it in chapter 2 and verse 9, talking about the right hand of fellowship, welcoming people into the fellowship of believers. Over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, which we already referenced a little bit about helping bear one another's burdens in verse 2, and then down to verse 6 it says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. So obviously this isn't one we're going to blow our own trumpets here at all as teachers, but the principle here is that not only do we share materially with one another, but also we're to bless those who teach the Word of God to us. That's a privileged and an honorable position, I think we would say.
We even practice that literally when someone joins our church. We extend to them the right hand of fellowship, welcoming them into the family of God, into the local assembly, and sanctioning the fact that they are part of the family now. And we want them to know that they can call on us, that we will be watching out for them and helping them, encouraging them, and when necessary, rebuking them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all part of the package.
Yep, very good. And then over in Ephesians 5, verse 11, again, there's a little bit of a limitation here to fellowship. Paul says to the Ephesian church, take no part, there's the reference, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And then maybe we can finish up our podcast today. This is not exhaustive, of course, but let's just work through the book of Philippians. Again, Paul is prolific here in his references to fellowship. But he also talks about fellowship in 1 Timothy and Philemon. The author of Hebrews addresses it. Peter, in both of his letters, the first two epistles of John, which the first epistle of John is loaded. Chapter 1 is loaded. We're going to be talking about that on Good Friday and our Easter services, and even a couple times in the book of Revelation. But Philippians 1:5 says this, that Paul is saying that he thanks God and he prays for the Philippians because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So again, that kind of goes back to our core value. Our fellowship is based in the gospel, just as Paul's was based in the gospel. Verse 7 of the first chapter says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers, there's the word, with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That's a great unifying theme to fellowship. Down in chapter 2, verse 1, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. So we're only going to find unity, I guess, there, right? If we really have any kind of fellowship with the Spirit to begin with, it seems is what Paul's saying there. What about 3:10, Pastor John? This is one of the subjects we're going to be addressing on Monday afternoon with Pastor Conrad. Philippians 3:10, talking about that Paul wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings.
Yeah, again, there's another aspect of fellowship that we don't think about. You know, we talked about the fellowship with Christ and the benefit of that fellowship with him gaining his righteousness, him taking our sin. There's also another benefit in being united with Christ, and that is the fellowship of his sufferings. And a lot of times we don't think of suffering as a benefit, but as Christ suffered, he gained great benefit. What did he gain? Well, he gained the souls of those who would believe. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorned its shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. There was great benefit in his suffering. And so, too, the Bible says that those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer in this world, and there God has designed that for our benefit, so that as we suffer as Christ suffered, we will be more like him. Those sufferings will come out to make us like Christ, and that's our ultimate goal, is to be like him. So there's a fellowship of shared life of suffering as a believer. We suffer in this world because we see the sin in this world, and we don't participate in that, and sometimes we feel heaped upon because we don't. We suffer in that way. We suffer in this world in the effects of sin, you know, in a sin-cursed world. And we groan, but God uses that, unites us to Christ in that, and we come out to be more like him. So that's something we don't often think about, a fellowship of suffering with Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent thoughts. And then in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 4, again, Paul's referring to the generosity of the Philippian church in meeting his material financial needs and sending a gift to him. And of course, in return, that wonderful verse later says, my God will supply your needs through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So there is great blessing. So hopefully, as we've kind of gone through just a portion of the New Testament here dealing with Christian fellowship, hopefully your definition of what it is has been expanded and broadened a little bit. Perhaps we can finish by just exhorting the listeners here to get involved in Christian fellowship. Don't be a pew sitter. Don't just keep your Christianity and your faith to yourselves. What are some practical ways that, let's say, someone doesn't have a lot of Christian fellowship, how can they take? What are some steps that they can take to participate and to share?
I think inviting someone out to lunch after morning worship service to get to know them, having someone come into your home for a meal to bring their kids and get to know the family, just to get intimate with those that are the assembly, and to be proactive and go after those that are timid and even a little backward. But it's been amazing, as this church is very good at doing that, how some of them begin to blossom in their own right, and then they turn around and start inviting people to their homes and that kind of thing, and it does mushroom.
So you're getting down below the surface. Yeah. I think it's a common problem in a lot of churches that we gather together on Sunday and there's a lot of activity and we all join together and sing and listen to teaching, but to get our lives connected at a deeper level is something that doesn't happen a lot of places. Any thoughts, Pastor John?
Yeah, I would say, I would exhort to limiting fellowship. I think in our day and age, we have, there's so many voices in the media and popular culture that have a veneer of Christianity, but, really aren't. I think of, those Love Comes Softly books, Janet Oak, and we could do a whole, whole nother podcast on that. But a lot of people, those are Christian movies. Well, they don't talk about Christ. She does not talk about Jesus Christ in those movies. Now, they're fine and good to watch and read, but let's not mistake that for Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship, it talks about the person of Christ. Not that we have to reject those movies. They're good and wholesome and all that. But let's not fool ourselves into thinking that that's somehow deep Christian fellowship, when we watch this movie. It's when believers come together and talk about the true doctrine of Christ. So I would just exhort something from 2 John 10 and 11. It says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, meaning the teaching of the Bible, the teaching of the true doctrine of Christ, says, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. So if, beware, there's false teachers out there. There's people like, Joel Osteen, who smiles a lot but doesn't talk about sin. He doesn't talk about the atonement. He doesn't talk about Christ in a true way. There's, people like Benny Hinn that don't even believe in correct doctrine of Christ and the Trinity, and have weird teachings on the Holy Spirit. Don't bring those into your house. Don't fellowship with those people. And then it goes on in verse 11 to say, for whoever greets him, there's our greeting again related to fellowship, whoever greets him takes part, has koinonia, in his wicked works. So I would exhort from that end to be careful, even something in just because it's in Family Christian Source doesn't mean it's a resource that you want to be fellowshipping in your life. They've got to teach the true doctrine of Christ that comes from his word. So be discerning about your fellowship. It's not just, oh, if somebody says a couple Bible verses, they're okay, or oh, if they mention God, well, which God are they talking about? Who are they talking about? Are they talking about the God of the Bible? Are they talking about Christ? Then if you determine that, then fellowship should ensue. But we need to be careful about who we fellowship with. We want to be encouraged in our faith, not torn down or distracted.
Yeah, I think, maybe a good analogy with the March Madness season right now would even be like a basketball team or a basketball game, where you've got the players in the court. They should have koinonia with each other. They're partners. They have a shared mission. They should know each other pretty well. They're sharing in their suffering and they're sharing in their comfort. But the fact of the matter is that if they don't play offense, they're not going to advance. If they don't play defense, the other team's going to advance. And so I'm afraid that there are a lot of Christians that are kind of like maybe basketball players just standing in the middle of the court. They're not doing anything to actively participate in fellowship, and they're not being careful with limiting fellowship the way that they should. So there's an offense and a defense that we need to play in this area of Christian fellowship. Both sides are important, and we'll emphasize both sides at our seed conference coming up this weekend. Well, hope you enjoyed this study of the scriptures. I have enjoyed looking through the scriptures this morning. It's refreshing to our heart. It gives us something to key in on and to imitate Christ in. And so we hope that all of you will do that. If you're in the Indianapolis area, we'd like to invite you to attend our seed conference if you're able. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And then Monday evening at 7 and Tuesday evening at 7 are open to the general public. If you're in Christian leadership, we'd love you to come and stay with us for the day on Monday. There's more information about how you can register for that on the website again, which is seedconference.info. And like we said, next Tuesday, we'll look forward to recording a podcast here with our seed speakers. And I know that will be very instructive and useful. So until next time, thanks for joining us in the Abiding in the Vine podcast.